Thank you for being with me. In just a moment, we will hear a conversation with Jen Lawler, and I found her videos on YouTube to be very helpful. I was kind of seeking out the information because I noticed I'd felt very detached, or quite detached, for quite a while. Detached from myself, perhaps, and from my experience. And that is a topic she's addressed, as well as many others. And we'll hear some of that discussion, some of those discussed in just a moment. But I wanted to share sort of what I found to be helpful as I integrated some of what she said resonated with me. So I, started to explore it myself. And I found that some of that process was feeling kind of difficult for me. A lot of these steps that we take, a lot of those can feel difficult. And I was really grateful for all that she explains in this conversation, which we will hear in just a moment. And I feel a little silly, though, that I sat on it and actually told her, well, I'm not sure if or when I would be putting out this podcast, even though it's like awesome material. I feel as though it's difficult. It's difficult to do. And so I'm glad she was thorough in her explanation. And I want to just provide, too, some observations that really helped me as I kind of worked on these same topics, because a lot of the times facing a difficult feeling, like for me, it really helped to know that I am loved. And I'm not sure how to guide us in doing this, but if anything, you can listen back to this moment of this recording right now and know that you are loved. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. And what also helped me was this idea, because like I said, sometimes it's difficult for me to face certain feelings if they come up. I really felt a sense of relief when I had this idea that, well, I could actually set a timer. And if I feel the need to be with a feeling, perhaps it was a deep frustration, for example, and then I just felt the need to actually face that feeling, well, I could set a timer, and the timer could be for a very short time. It could be 30 to 45 seconds, a minute. What I mean is it could be a short time, and then that the length of that time until the timer dings would be the maximum amount of time that I would spend in that activity, which in this example might be facing a feeling that came up, which was quite uncomfortable for me. Well, I could do that. And perhaps that gives me the opportunity to move past it. And then the timer dings. And when it dings, I like to say, release, because I am releasing. And now let's listen in on ideas very graciously given by Jen Lawler. This was a statement on your page where you say there's an art to enjoying the human experience. First, you get to know your discomfort. Then you learn to hold it with love, warmth, presence, and acceptance. Gradually, your discomfort dissolves and you can enjoy your life.
Yeah. I mean, like in my experience, and man, I've had a lot of experience with suffering and just struggling my way through life just internally. A lot of just trying to be somebody that, you know, I thought I should be, and kind of push, it felt like I was just like pushing my way through life and really focused on rejecting a lot of aspects of who I am and going after, an image that I thought I should be. And a lot of that was happening on a subconscious level. Like I wasn't, you know, consciously saying to myself, I want to be this person and I'm going after that. But if I, you know, in retrospect, as I started to dig in and really look at my suffering, I saw that at the root of it all was really this core belief that, you know, I'm inherently flawed, or you know, I'm broken in some way, and therefore I need to fix aspects of myself, you know, through personal development, through, you know, pushing my way through life, through perfectionism and so on, in order to be somebody that I thought I should be. And I guess in this process of self-discovery, really, you know, what I think it is more than personal development, but just really getting to know oneself, I think what we find often with people who are suffering is that there are parts of our experience of being human that we have completely rejected from, you know, from our realm of what is acceptable. Like, we can't be with ourselves in certain ways. And really, until we can be with all aspects of the human experience, then we're always going to suffer. We're always going to be struggling, because that's just part of the human experience. So an example might be, you know, the quivery sensations of shyness. For many, many years, like, I just, you know, would not allow myself to feel shy. You know, but yet I did feel shy. Mm-hmm. So when I would experience a situation where, you know, those quivery sensations of shyness would arise, I'd immediately enter into this really self-conscious inner dialogue of how, you know, I shouldn't be that way. You know, why are you like this? You know, really harsh inner critic, just really rejecting that experience.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even this morning, I was trying to put into perspective everything I've heard you say. And then, you know, examples come up for me too. And I was starting to realize that my first instinct would most likely be fearful whenever I'm having any question in my mind, you know, relating to myself. And I'm talking about now, but I'm talking about most of life. And we probably learn that. Like, if I'm ever making a decision, or if I had something to consider, my first consideration was probably, how will this appear to other people? Mm-hmm. Even subtle choices that maybe a teenager makes, you know, in terms of their personality. I wasn't thinking, well, what kind of experience do I want to have, or what kind of person, or who am I truly? It's more considering, you know, what's working for other people and looking around. Yeah. And what's, you know, what's going to keep me from feeling ashamed, maybe even, you know, it goes mm-hmm. kind of deep. And I like what you say too, just now, how maybe a lot of this is just happening subconsciously. I'm not sure that I'm summarizing it. That's just maybe perspective for me.
Yeah. Well, what you just said really made me think about how, like, I really believe that people that struggle with being comfortable with who they are, it is an old wound from, you know, who knows when, and it really doesn't matter. I don't think it's that helpful to, you know, really dig in, where did this happen? It just is what it is, right? But those of us who have suffered from, you know, some sort of relational wound where, you know, we have not been able to go through life just feeling completely accepting of who we are, I've found a really common pattern where we tend to really focus on the image of ourselves in relation to others. So what you said, which was, you know, if you have a decision to make, or had a decision to make in your life, it would more be about, how would that affect others? So you see how that's really looking at not just like the experience of what your desires are, or what that decision might mean to you, you know, as a being, but how does that affect my self-image in relation to others? And so it's really, do you see how there's a separation then between your own experience and the experience of your, like, self-image of yourself? And I think when we do that over and over, we keep focusing our attention on, you know, the self-image or projected self in relation to others, we start to really lose touch with who we are. And that's why a lot of us end up feeling like, you know, really disconnected from our true selves. I mean, can you relate to that?
Yeah.
Feeling of disconnection?
Yeah, I think that's what I was searching when I came across your material. Mm-hmm. Basically wondering why I was feeling so disconnected from myself.
Yeah.
And even this podcast is one way that I have identified that feeling or that state, because you know, I get on and I try to, you know, share with people. And I recently, a lot of the time, I might record and I might just throw the recording away because I listen back and I think, well, this isn't even me. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure even consciously anymore if I can tell when that starts or stops. It seemed sort of embedded. So I liked what you were describing in some of your videos on YouTube about blockages too.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like an energetic flow. And I'm using my own words here, but maybe there's this habit that we can get into where we're stopping ourselves, and maybe that's us judging our thoughts and we're not having the flow you described. Instead, we're having sort of more blockages,
right?
Like emotionally. And what do you see happening? Is that something you noticed happening in yourself, at least the judging of the thoughts and then not having a natural sort of experience, but getting caught in a way?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much to say. I mean, I feel like it's been this huge process for me of, you know, of raising my awareness of myself, you know, bringing a lot of unconscious, unhelpful habits that I didn't even know were going on into my consciousness. And then, you know, having a lot of those unhelpful habits just sort of ease. And so, for example, like, I really think that it all starts in terms of, you know, a healing process is to raise one's awareness. So, for example, at first, a lot of people, myself included, when I started this self, you know, kind of getting to know myself on a deeper level, I was really lost in my thoughts. You know, I lived out of my head. I lived out of, you know, just my world of busyness and getting things done and so on. And I knew there was like this nasty inner critic going on, but I didn't really ever stop and create a little bit of distance from this voice going on inside of me. And, you know, I just kind of keep myself busy. But then I started to slow down a bit and increase my awareness of what was going on inside, both my mind and then next was in my body, like sensations in my body. And I think that once we start to increase our awareness, you know, the first step is that it's kind of alarming because your awareness of how much, you know, negative self-talk and how much emotion starts to really come into the light. It's almost like if you looked in a dark closet with a really dim flashlight, and then all of a sudden you turned up the light, and all of a sudden you're going to see all this cobwebs and junk and everything. It's a bit like that. But once, you know, I started to increase my awareness and started to see, like, my inner critic, you know, how, you know, hateful my inner critic was, and how much I wasn't able to sit with uncomfortable feelings. Like, I was always trying to distract myself from them. You know, busyness was a really big one. Mm-hmm. I started to open myself to just meeting all of that suffering with openness and just curiosity, really, I think, is the best word to describe it. And in my experience, what has happened by just meeting myself with this openness, this curiosity, is that it all quiets down. Hmm. Not overnight. We all want fast, you know, overnight success and that, but it starts to just become a new way of being with oneself. And amazingly enough, it just, like, the inner critic just quieted right down mm-hmm. without me trying to quiet it down. And I started to learn how to be with myself. For example, I had a lot of anger that would, you know, turn into rage. And I mean, that was a really challenging one for me, was like how to be with those incredible feelings of anger and rage without acting them out. Mm-hmm. You know, so it took a lot of, I think, courage and practice to just meet myself in all these different ways that I had always never wanted to meet myself before, just always rejected, always tried to get rid of, always tried to pretend wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to give the impression that, you know, like everything is just peachy, because I think that's another thing I try to communicate in my website, that, you know, we all want, when we're struggling, and particularly when we struggle with, you know, like core feelings of shame, not feeling good enough and so on, we all want to believe that, you know, there's some, we're going to reach, if we just do what we need to do, we're going to reach some place where, you know, we just experience happiness. We just experience like never having an inner critic, or we just experience never experiencing anger or anything that we don't like about ourselves, because that's shame talking, right? Like shame wants to believe that we have, you know, flawed parts of ourselves. And so the perfect solution is, okay, get rid of those flawed parts of ourselves so that we can finally be happy. But the thing is that those flawed parts, you know, the belief that we have flawed parts of ourselves is a lie. It's a misperception. And the struggling is really believing that we have those flaws and reinforcing that belief every single time that we reject those parts of ourselves.
So maybe there might be more than one aspect I'd want to look at, because mm-hmm. At first you were talking about one example, which would be feeling angry or feeling some sort of emotion that might be concerning, you know, and in a couple different ways. Like a person might be concerned about what that might lead them to do. You know, mm-hmm. so they're being very careful or afraid about that. And then also maybe being just being caught in a cycle of feeling bad about feeling bad, you yeah. know, where it's like, oh, I gotta, you know, change these feelings or change how I'm feeling. What about that at first? Like, is there any, if somebody tries that at first, I'm just wondering if they're going to be surprised, or like, how can we sort of ease even my own mind, like about doing that, about maybe just bringing your presence to whatever's coming up inside.
Yeah.
Like, is anything surprising when you do that, or what helps?
The first thing that happens when you like raise your awareness, your inner awareness of what's going on for me, is, yeah, you're going to see a lot more of, for example, if you're going to look at your mind and thoughts going on, all of a sudden you're going to see a lot more activity. Maybe your inner critic, you see it a lot more, rather than just having it kind of like a radio that's on always in the background, but you just ignore it. If you turn toward that radio and you tune into it, you're going to be pretty amazed. Like, wow, I've been listening to that. Like, I knew it was going on, but it's kind of shocking in a way. But for me, when I started to do that, immediately I could see that if I can listen to this inner critic say I'm such a bag of poop, then I must be a little bit separate, right? Like if I'm listening to this, but I'm resting in this place over here of awareness, like there was a little bit of separation, and that separation was really comforting to me. And I guess as far as your question about, you know, fear, I think that the best thing is just, it's all about trusting ourselves and going, you know, as slowly or as gently as we need to go with ourselves. You know, so for example, you know, pushing yourself into, you know, like a family dinner that is extremely traumatic for somebody, and telling yourself you're going to just be aware and open to your, that might be a bit much, right? But maybe at first just tuning into, like, what does my body feel like as I go throughout my day? And every time as I go throughout my day, sure, you're going to forget to tune into the feelings from the inside, you know, like what your heart center feels like or what your hands feel like and so on. But if you just make that an intention, and then as often as you can, just bring your attention back to checking in with, you know, feeling your body, it's just going to happen naturally that your awareness is going to increase. So then what you'll find is that the next time you're caught in, let's say, intense fear, instead of just experiencing it, like being lost in the fear and going through the motions, which is actually the worst, you'll find that you have a little bit of space and you're able to experience the fear kind of like, you know, more full body, and also seeing like what's going on in your mind. And it lets you start to get to know yourself in fear rather than just being lost in it. And I think the key thing here is that when you're lost in the experience of fear or the experience of whatever it is you're struggling with, you are just reinforcing that belief. But when you meet the fear with a little bit of space, with your open awareness, because the nature of awareness is just, it's neutral, right? It's like open, curious. I'm talking about the awareness, like if you hear sounds, whether it's a siren or it's a bird chirping, the awareness of hearing is not judgmental, right? It's just receptive. It's just open to hearing the sound. And that's the awareness that I'm talking about. Mm. Just like sight. It's not like, you know, you see an object and, you know, that awareness of seeing the object makes the judgment of it's beautiful or if it's not. It's the mind, the conditioned mind, that makes that judgment. Mm. So I'm talking about the pure awareness, just like recognizing that you're seeing something or hearing something without being lost in the mind story of that thing, or what that siren means to you, etc. Mm-hmm. So there's an important distinction there. But getting back to the experience of fear, like if we're lost in just, you know, if all of our awareness is just, all of our attention is just consumed by the experience of fear, then we're just going to be reinforcing our relationship with how we experience fear, right? Mm. Whereas if we bring some awareness in with us, we start to see, oh, wow, when I'm afraid, like I get this pain like in my chest, and my hands get really cold and sweaty, and, you know, I start having all these thoughts about impending doom. And like, these are things that you may never have known about yourself because you were just lost in the experience, right? And what starts to happen when we bring more and more awareness into our experience is that we bring the quality of awareness, which is openness, acceptance, you know, non-judgmental, and we start to like create a new habit of being with ourselves.
Yeah, I've been finding awareness to be healing. And that's something, it keeps coming to my mind because I'm trying to maybe use my mind to figure out, well, why? Why does this work? Because yeah. I felt that it works, but I can't necessarily say why, except yeah. the way what I've perceived is that our awareness is very much ripening. Even we don't have to always, you know, have our mind churned to figure out, what do I need to do?
I've spent, you know, it's funny because you say about like that experience of awareness and just seeing that it has such an incredible healing ability, and going, why, you know, and like, why? And being really confused for a long time and really feeling like, I need to know the answer, why? And so I really dug in for, you know, I would say a couple years mm-hmm. of just really trying to get clear myself on, you know, just awareness and how it's healing and so on. And I really think that it's a hard one for the mind to comprehend, but I really think that for me, what feels like truth is that awareness holds truth. Like I believe that there is truth that transcends the mind. You know, it's just the absolute truth. And I believe that awareness, when we bring it, it brings that truth. And so, for example, if you hold a truth a belief that, you know, I'm inherently flawed, you know, or I'm ugly, or I'm whatever, all these different variations of I'm not good enough in some way. And then you bring awareness with you, you know, in your consciousness, it holds the truth, which is, that's not true that you're not good enough. You know, and so you're basically, when you're having an experience, like maybe an old conditioned experience, and then you bring your awareness with you, you're now creating a situation where you have truth of awareness with you in the experience of your misperception. And so I don't get too much into like neurobiology and everything, but I really do think that we are actually rewiring like the way that we, you know, maybe our brain or our being is with an experience because we've brought that truth with us. And I think that's a big one of the healing. But I also think that because awareness is so open, it helps us to, you know, open blockages as well. It's like the opposite of constriction. You know, it's just a really open place. And so it helps us to open to, you know, let our being, like who we are, our experience, just flow.
Can you tell when you make that that shift between like perhaps ignoring something or being affected by some sort of energies or feelings or patterns or whatever they are, and then the shift to having more of an awareness and an openness? I'm just wondering if you somehow tell when that happens, or if there's some way you trigger or move yourself from one state to this like truer state.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I mean, like when I was first starting to, you know, increase my awareness, it really was just like, I started noticing when, oh wow, I was completely just lost in my thoughts. And then, you know, it's almost like, wow, I'm back, you know, and then I would get lost in my thoughts and my activities. Oh, and I'd pull myself back to being aware of, you know, the present moment where I was, what I was doing. But after some time, it wasn't like I had to remind myself anymore. It just became like the new way of being. And so I don't find as much anymore where, like, there won't be periods where I'm just like you know, lost and consumed in a thought like I used to be. And so I think that maybe it's not to me like I feel like, oh, like I'm with my true self now, or I'm with my false self, or anything like that. It feels more like things just, like I had all this kind of built up resistance in my being, you know, to all these different states. And I was really controlling of, like, my mind was really controlling of how I should act, how I should be, and everything. And then things got really, like, as I increased my awareness, things got really, like, brought into the light. And I had to learn how to be with those parts of myself that I just wanted to, like, personally develop my way out of. Mm. Learn how to be with, you know, extreme emotions and intense feelings. And then everything just kind of calmed down and got way more balanced. And I think the biggest indicator for me of how, or the biggest result that I see in my life is that, like, I still get angry, I still get sad, I still have the full gamut of emotions, but it's from so much more of a balanced place. Like, I never, you know, before I would be like possessed by anger, for example, like, you know, kind of like out of my mind, where I would just, you know, like feel out of control sort of thing. Or if I got really sad or depressed, it was like life, like I was completely consumed by it. And it felt like I was never going to get out of that type feeling. Like you probably understand that. And fear or speaking up for myself, no, I couldn't do it. You know, it was just like paralyzed by these different experiences. Whereas now it's more, sure, I can experience them, but like, say I was angry about something, I wouldn't necessarily need to act right then. And I wouldn't be so extremely angry. But I would honor that anger. Like, that anger tells me something, and it's valid. Whereas before, I would invalidate everything about myself, you know, if it was a negative thing that I perceived about myself. Like, if I got angry, that was like an indication of me having failed. Like, I shouldn't get angry, you know, I should be like nice. And so you can see, like, always trying to repress these things. So yeah, more balanced and more ability to, yeah, I guess just more balanced is what I feel like it is. I mean, I think it's so difficult when, like, our mind has been, like, you know, when I say something like subconscious, like, really all I mean is that, you know, it's such a habitual pattern that we no longer have to consciously think about it, right? Like, it's just operating below the level of our awareness. Because, you know, for example, like, when do you drive?
Yeah.
When you're driving, you don't have to think about putting your key in the ignition and turning it. And, you know, you don't have to be consciously thinking your way through each step, right? You're just driving. Once you gain comfort with something, you know, it kind of just can drop below the level of awareness and of consciousness and just operate. And I think that for a lot of us who have experienced a lot of, or are experiencing a lot of struggle and suffering in our lives, it's because we have, you know, these habits of our mind that have been ingrained perhaps from the time we were babies, who knows when, maybe young children, I don't know when, but they've operated for so long that we don't even see them operating. And so then when we, you know, experience our suffering and we're like, oh my gosh, I got to make my life better because our, you know, like, the truth is telling us this is not the way life is supposed to be. And that's truth, right? Like, we're not supposed to just struggle our way through life. So that's when we go and we're like, I need to do something about this. Like, we buy the personal development books, we maybe go to therapy, we explore, etc. But we're still exploring from this place where our mind is unconsciously conditioned to this belief that we're not even aware of. And that's where I think it gets really confusing, because it's like we're wearing, you know, rose-colored sunglasses or something and seeing the world through them, but we don't even know that we're wearing those glasses. You know, so for example, we might be like, you know, a really, you know, I go back to, you know, the concept of not good enough, which I think really embodies, like, you know, core shame or toxic shame, which I think is at the root of a lot of our suffering and disconnection with self and so on. But if we hold this belief on an unconscious level that we're inherently flawed, right? And this belief has been operating in our below the level of our consciousness for maybe decades. We don't know what's going on, right? And maybe we do, because we go, oh, well, I do know because I've got this inner critic, but we don't know how. We may know some of it, but we don't know all of how it's functioning in our lives and causing us to struggle. So then we go out and we go to the bookstore and we buy some personal development books, and they're like, but we buy it from this place of believing that I'm inherently flawed and I'm going to buy this book to fix those flaws. You know, if you just imagine wearing sunglasses that filter your vision, and if you're wearing sunglasses that filter, they filter in both directions, right? Like, what I see this way is filtered through, let's say, not good enough. I'm not good enough. And what comes in is also filtered through, I'm not good enough. So that's kind of complicated, but let me explain that. If I go out into the world and I believe that people don't like me because I don't have a very desirable personality, okay? Like, in some way, my personality is flawed. And I go into a party or something, and everybody's over in a corner talking, and I experience like anxiety, social anxiety, because I feel like I'm going to be rejected in some way. And everybody's over there laughing and everything, and they don't look over at me and go, come on over, you know? I'm probably going to interpret that as they don't want me to be there. They're happy there and they don't want me to be there. But is that true? Right? Like, they might just be consumed in their chatter and not notice me, right, at that moment. And it has nothing to do with me. But if I enter that situation with the belief that nobody's going to like me, no one's going to want me there, and I might not even be consciously aware that I hold that belief, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but I am going to manufacture a reality that reflects that to me.
What is the best way for people to hear what you're sharing and see your videos?
Yeah, well, I mean, people can go to my website, jenlawler.com, and, you know, I do have a newsletter sign up there. And I think that, you know, I'm just kind of in the process of revamping my website, and I'm going to make my newsletter really a place where I keep in touch with people and, you know, kind of people who resonate with what I have to say, go deeper into topics and so on. But I do have a YouTube channel as well. You can find me, Jen Lawler, on YouTube, and check out some of my videos.
Yeah, I already, in a short time, I've been feeling quite different by listening to your videos, and really appreciate you talking with me. It's fun because I had questions, and it's really awesome to explore them together.
Yeah, thank you.